All right, are we ready to go ahead and move on to Golden State then?
Yep.
Yes. All
right. Let's go ahead and get to who defends Steph. I'm going to just bow out to see what Alan and Raj think of that one. So I'm really interested on who you two especially think defends Steph the majority of the time.
Yeah, Steph is a he's a five-man defensive option. Like, he's a five-man defensive team, right? I mean, that's cliche, but I think we're going to start with Jared Vanderbilt on him. I think he's going to chase him around. And then, oh boy, everyone else better be ready. Like, there's no relaxed. You know, LeBron can't be relaxed. AD can't be relaxed. You got to be up on the screen. It's a 24-second operation. If you can curse and mess up for like 2 seconds, you know, you're done.
I do all the time.
So you stay every other place, but like, yeah. So if you mess up like for two seconds, he'll burn you. This is going to be the toughest, I think, offensive matchup that we'll have going from Desmond Bane to like Steph Curry, you know, like there are levels to fear as a off ball shooter. And this is the highest floor of that. So, but yeah, I would start with Vanderbilt, Dennis Schroeder off the bench, and also some couple of prayers, you know, at night. Like, let's hope Steph Curry misses a couple of spiritual things to hope that he misses some shots and some luck. Just hope.
Roger's gonna be burning sage.
He's
going full Kyrie.
Get Kyrie courtside seats every game. You know, get him. Sage the arena and all that. So
very small sample size because he only played one game against the Lakers with his brand new team. But in that game, he went 8-for-20 and 5-for-13 from three. Which I think if you go back and watch that, the Lakers essentially just harassed Steph the entire game. I know it's a playoff series, so it's going to be different. And Steph's going to be working actively harder to get his open shots. But essentially, just follow the same blueprint. And I think essentially, you'll have three guys on him, ideally, at all times, where you'd have Vanderbilt, Reeves, and Dennis essentially sort of share the duties of guarding Steph. I think Vando's length will be I think Dennis's length is underrated when he guards Steph, because like I said, I know Dennis is a small ass guard relatively to NBA size, right? But his wingspan and, you know, Clay being Mr. Wingspan, Dennis's wingspan is huge, and I think that genuinely does have an effect on Steph's shot.
He's at least a plus six.
Yeah. And I think he's like 6'1" with a 6'10" wingspan or something stupid like that. Is Dennis? Yeah,
kind of Rondo-ish.
Yeah, very similar to that. So, I think personally, I would start off with Vanderbilt on him, just because I'd like Reeves on Clay, or Reeves on wing. To be fair, the whole match
6'8"
Raj brings up a really good point where it's 24-second motion. There's a lot of dribble handoff. There's a lot of screen and rolls that they do. And it's just to get the wide open shot eventually, right? A lot of the motion is there not to try and score from it, is to try and get the best possible shot. And
yeah,
you have to be on it constantly. And that's where there will be constant switching. And there will be times where AD is on him, and there will be times that LeBron's on him, and there'll be times that D'Angelo Russell. And if D'Lo ends up with Steph being on him, the most you can ask from D'Lo is just to make the shot as difficult as possible. And if he makes it, he makes it. And that's the beauty of Steph, right, for Golden State. He will take shots that are absolutely ridiculous, that any other person takes that shot, they are sitting on the bench for an entire quarter. But because it's Steph, it'll go in, and it changes the complexion of a game completely at times. And that's where I think when we talked about the series a little bit before recording, I feel like that's where some of our trepidation comes from, where like a guy like Steph can shift the series on its axis. However, watching, and I like Davion Mitchell a lot, but watching what Davion Mitchell did to Steph for the first few games of that series, I feel like we can take that and then add to it, because the Kings don't have an AD behind their guards. They don't have a LeBron James, even though LeBron's old now, you know, And I'm saying that lovingly, LeBron. Please don't come and, like, you know, steal the soul of me like you did Dylan Brooks.
He's going to tweet Jay-Z bars you. That's what he's going to do.
You know what? If he does, I've made it. What can I say? But they didn't have that, right? The Kings. And I think the Kings shouldn't be too hard on themselves taking the defending champ 7 games in a playoff series. I think that bodes really well for their future, to be honest with you. You know, Mike Brown's done a phenomenal job over there.
Real quick, I want to get to that. I'm sorry for interrupting you. The Kings burst onto the scene too early. You know what I'm saying? Like, they probably should have been a play-in team if you know, based off the beginning of the season. Now, they overplayed that, obviously, kind of like how the Grizzlies did a couple years ago. We were talking about this before the podcast started. I think it's good for their development. I think it's good for their franchise, everything like that. But they took the defending champions to 7 games, and I feel like the Lakers are better than the Kings. They shouldn't, like, just choke that game 7 away like the Kings just did, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say, like, that the Warriors cannot win. I'm not saying that the Lakers 100% win this. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that the Warriors, especially, like, if they won that game by 3 instead of 20 because Steph going off and then the Kings just scoring, what was it, like, 3 in the last 8 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, there was a stretch where it was something like that.
Yeah, we're talking about this game a little bit differently. Or this series a little bit differently. And not that, like, again, not that Steph can't take the series over. He can, and there's most likely going to be a game where he just goes nuclear as mm-hmm. he does.
He's one of the best, like 15 players of all time. He'll do it.
Yeah, right? he's going to do it at least once, probably twice, and quite possibly a third time. Like, yep. I just also
you have to make sure that one or two of those times come in a losing effort, you know?
Yeah, like and
happened, by the way, because I do want to say this about Klay Thompson. I'm happy that Klay Thompson has got over those injuries and he looks like a semblance of himself.
That's
I do
not about himself. Like a semblance of
he
himself.
Is not himself because people overrate how good Klay's been. And don't get me wrong, he still has, you don't lose that shooting stroke. Like, simply.
I think he hit the most threes in the league this year. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, because he's unreal. Like, if you put Reggie Miller onto a court, he will make threes right now in his old ass age. Mm-hmm. You don't lose that stroke, simply. Right? But defensively, he's not the same guy he used to be. He doesn't really move. I know he still moves around well, but compared to how Klay moves around, like, if you compare, like, let's say, because I think the pinnacle of Klay was when he scored that 37 point quarter in Sacramento against Sacramento, ironically.
Right.
If you look at the way he moves in that stretch, it is like I think he was one of the best off ball movers. Him and Steph, just
he's like the Terminator at that point. Yeah. Like, he was like moving like an insane person off the ball,
exactly. He can't do that anymore, right? And I think that helps the Lakers a lot as well. And that's where I think this series is really, really interesting. And I love being able to talk about the minutiae like this. I think Jordan Poole, can we talk about the chemistry of the Golden State Warriors? Because
it's certainly not as high as it's been.
People don't rate chemistry highly on NBA Twitter.
Hey, Clayton did because they a long time ago.
But, you know, Clay's come around because he's a smart, rational human. I don't like flexing my basketball coaching chops very often, but, you know, three-time national champion, it's neither here nor there. chemistry is really fucking important. I've had teams who are great, like, individually, really phenomenal, better than teams that have won national titles. But because they didn't get on with each other, they didn't know how to play with each other, they just couldn't get it going for whatever reason, they didn't win. Like, those kids, technically, I guarantee, were better. And I know we're comparing NBA and, you know, my coaching resume. But I think it's very similar, right? Like, you've seen it with the Lakers. Like, the 2020 team is arguably one of the most together teams I think I've ever seen. And you could tell, like, they would die for each other. I don't think this team is that quite chemistry wise, but it's very close. And
if they had a training camp in them, I think you could make an argument that it could be like that at that point, honestly.
I think so too. But bringing it back to Golden State,
yeah,
because I have the utmost of respect for Golden State. I really, really do. I don't think they have a kick. Poole and Draymond, just there's something there, and I try to ignore it because they won a title with essentially the same team last year, right?
Yep.
But I really think, I don't know who the issue is, to be honest with you, because Draymond took himself out of the
starting lineup. I think it's a personality clash, honestly. Yeah. Poole doesn't seem like a guy who takes kindly to Draymond's aggressive and abrasive style that we all know he has, you know? So that's probably what it is. It's probably not really either guy's fault.
No, I don't think there is a fault here. I just don't feel like they mesh anymore. And that sometimes happens in basketball, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like chemistry really matters. And the fact that the Lakers are this good chemistry-wise with this team at this point, I think is a huge, huge thing going into this series.
I mean, also remember with Poole, he's only 23. This is his fourth season in the NBA. Compared to a guy like...
He's ridiculous. Like, please don't get me wrong when I say this stuff. I don't want people to think I'm calling Poole trash or Draymond trash. I am not. I think Poole is a... No, I know what you're saying, Merge, but I think people could misconstrue it as me saying that. And I just want to put that in there where I'm absolutely categorically not saying that.
We've seen people like D'Angelo Russell. When he came back, he even said himself that, you know, he's a grown man. He's 27 now. And 4 years ago, D'Angelo probably wouldn't take to the same type of, you know, stuff that Draymond was doing too. But now D'Lo's gotten older and he's gone through four or five teams now, I think he understands it. I think that's what Poole needs. Poole needs that sort of moment where it clicks with him in terms of, you know, that type of tough love or coaching style or whatever. And I think that's the issue right here. And Draymond, I'm not sure if he's on the team this upcoming year. This upcoming season, there's reports that they still want him back. And I've seen like $20 million be the number it's thrown around per year. We'll see what happens in the offseason, but I think it's also some of that into it as well, where Draymond could have like one leg out at the same time. So,
the chemistry stuff, that's in their locker room. I'm sure, you know, they have to deal with it. There's weird videos that comes out, but just in terms of Klay, like, I know he didn't shoot well, but like Steph and Klay are scheme breakers, right? Like they break your defense. You can play perfect defense and they can hit the shot. And those are backbreaking plays, especially for young teams, for inexperienced, you know, playoff teams. That's my kind of worry, is like the backbreaking step back jumper. You play perfect defense for 23 seconds and the shot still goes in, right? That's the stuff that's like really tough to like quantify offensively. Like, you look at Klay's numbers, I think tonight he was 2-for-10 from three, 4-for-19 from the field. But he hit like three shots that put the game away. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he put that
4-point play.
That 4-point play put the game away. And you can, you know, list his 3-point shooting and all that. And yeah, he's not the defender that he was before. I agree with that. And their defense is more tailored now in terms of Draymond and Looney. But yeah, I still think that's a tough thing to go at. And I guess the only thing I'll say also is, like, if you watch the Kings series, their offense kind of became a lot of just Steph Curry. It was just,
yes,
Steph Curry, top of the floor, pick and roll, and hunting Sabonis or hunting whatever their defender is. And I'm interested to see how sustainable that is in the playoffs. The Warriors will do this.
It's definitely harder to do against the Lakers too, with their
exactly. So they scrapped all that post up split stuff, right? Where they throw it into Draymond and he waits for Steph and Klay to like screen for each other and then wait for the cut. They kind of scrapped all that, you know, in this game. It was just Steph, here's the ball, go drop 50. To put them away. So I'm interested to see how much he does that against the Lakers. But yeah, I think, you know, they're going to be a hell to defend, and you know, we better be ready for that.
Yes, 100%. I agree with that as well.
my question is who is defending LeBron and AD?
Well,
it's
Draymond.
Draymond's starting to be on one of them.
Wiggins is an elite defender, I would say, a borderline elite defender at the very least.
He'll be on LeBron.
I think it's like we talk about like defending Steph, but then like it gets lost in the fact that Dre is going to defend. Dre is also not the same Dre that he was 4 or 5 years ago.
Or even 2 years ago in that playing game.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's slight on Dre because I.
Yeah.
Clear how much I love Draymond Green as a player.
And he's still a top five defender in the league.
Without doubt. But he's gone from being top two with AD to top five. And that's a big drop off for a guy like that. Like, I really believe that because he'll always be like a top 10-ish defender just because of his brain. Like that guy computes stuff defensively at a level that mere mortals cannot. That's why he is so good. He is so cerebral that he will always be at least very, very good defensively, even when his athleticism wanes and it has started to wane. Like we're seeing it. But I don't know. I think AD, What he started to do really well was not settle for the jump shot against Memphis. I know he did it a couple of times, but especially in like game six, I only scored like 15, 16, whatever the fuck he scored. I don't care anymore. But he didn't settle for any jump shots, and the jump shots he did take were really good jump shots. Like if you look at his stat line, what did he shoot? Like 6 for 9 or something. Very efficient.
A lot of it was D'Lo pick and rolls, lobs from D'Lo. He had that alley-oop from Dennis where he murdered Jaren.
I would ask you, Raj, because you know I really, really value your opinion, is how would Golden State guard D'Lo AD pick and roll? Because I don't see how they guard it effectively. I don't see how they would guard it as effectively as like Memphis would say. And Memphis had a really tough time dealing with that, like to the point where it just killed them.
Real quick before letting Raj answer that, is we were talking a bit about, and I'm going to let you answer that. We talked about before, like how AD was against the Warriors when he was with the Pelicans, and he played more wingish than bigish now. Yes. You know,
right?
And I agree with that. He necessarily hasn't still lost those skills, and he's also smarter than he was, and still capable of doing a lot of those things while the other guys just got older, and I don't know if they're going to be able to defend it as well. They couldn't defend it before, you know? So like, that's where I come in. Like Kevon Looney is going to have, we'll get to like how he's been so good off on the boards and everything, but like he can't defend AD, you know, like Dre can. But like also Draymond is 6'6", 6'7", and AD can see over the top of him and still should be able to do stuff. And again, this is not to say like Dre sucks, you know, but also like I could see Dre getting frustrated and then having another dumb moment. And
I worry about that in terms of Draymond and literally to a certain extent being physical with AD. Might get bumps and bruises essentially.
And just also like getting in foul trouble against them, you know, like that's where I keep thinking about this. So Raj, go ahead. AD, D'Lo pick and roll.
Right. No, I think that's all, you know, I think this is all like, it's all a part of it. I think D'Lo, the kind of scout on him is to like be super hyper aggressive, right? Like be physical with him. And that kind of takes him out of his game. You saw Memphis do that with ball pressure, even with a guy like Luke Kennard was like ball pressuring D'Lo and kind of made him a little bit more passive. And I think that's what they're going to try to do. But this is kind of all with D'Lo. Like if he's, you know, able to, you know, turn the screen and AD's able to get contact on it, he's going to have an open lane. They're not going to sell out on that. They're going to play the no roller behind where like they try to keep AD from getting a lob. So he has that shot, you know, available to him. I want to ask you guys this too. I'm a little worried. Like, so obviously Anthony Davis isn't Sabonis. They took Sabonis out of this series very early on. You could say he got punked a little bit, but I mean, I think just offensively, they kind of baited him into the open 15 footer, and he made some tonight, but it's almost meaningless to me. It's almost fool's gold because all those jump shots are kind of what they're wanting you to do. But like the hook shots, the, I think AD can hit these a little bit more, but the single coverage down low against Kevon Looney and Draymond Green, that's like the matchup I'm looking for, because the Warriors don't want to double that. And I'm wondering how much we kind of get baited into that. AD is a guy who's been so used to double coverage for so long. I think the Warriors are going to kind of start with single coverage and kind of see how he scores on that. But I think that's a huge kind of test here for the Lakers. I don't think the answer to beating the Warriors is Anthony Davis 50 post up against Kevon Looney. Like, that's a lot of work for him. That's going to be super physical. They're going to let Looney push, pull, do all that, you know, extra fouling stuff. And I don't think that's the answer, but I do think they're going to single coverage him. So I think there's like a fine line there of where he can dominate. But I think his role is going to be similar to it was against Memphis. Doesn't really have to score a ton. Keep Looney off the rebounds, protect the rim. Right, and that was a huge factor as well in the Kings series, that the Warriors got to the basket. They finished a ton. A lot of finishes from Steph Curry. Wiggins getting to the bucket on post-ups.
To me, that's like music to my ears, though, because the Grizzlies were like the best at finishing at the rim.
Best and scoring team.
The Lakers absolutely destroyed that. So I want the Warriors to go to the rim. That's like what I want them to do, 100%.
Right. Yeah. So, and they're more of a, they're a jump shooting preferred team, right? Their preference is to shoot jump shots. So if you can kind of bait them into a lot more long twos,
just run them off the line a lot.
Run them off the line, right? And the Lakers are very disciplined defensively in a way the Sacramento's not. They're a way more disciplined team than Sacramento is. But that AD in the post, I think they're going to start with Looney or Draymond on him, whatever. And try to bait him into jump shots, and we'll see if he can make some. He made a few in the Memphis series. Maybe he has to hit a few just to open that space up a little bit. But
I definitely trust him a lot more than Sabonis in that 15 foot range. That's for sure.
Yeah,
I would.
And I don't think they'll guard him like that, purely because if you give AD wide open jump shots, he'll just make them, especially from 15 foot. Like AD is. I know AD isn't like the greatest shooter in the world, but like relatively to Domantas Sabonis, who you guys know I absolutely love, he's a much better shooter than that. So I think there's also that aspect of it as well, because if you get AD going, that can lead to those 40, 50 point games from Anthony Davis, where then you can't essentially beat the Lakers with if AD is scoring between 40 to 50 points in a game. Right, like that's where I think Golden State will be a lot more conservative with the way they got AD compared to what they did with Sabonis in the essence of like leaving like bare ass open from 15 foot, just because of the fact that they'll be absolutely terrified, just like we are of Steph going for 50, for example. Like they'll be the same with AD, just because they don't have that dominant inside presence who can match up with AD. Like that's why I think this series is so interesting. Like, because essentially what we saw, how they defended Sabonis, they can't do that for AD. Or they can try. Like, but I think AD will punish him, is what I'm trying to say.
I concur.
Right.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to keeping Looney off the boards. My answer is Anthony Davis.
AD and then gang rebounding from LeBron, Vando, Wendy Gabriel, Rui Hachimura, even like Reeves.
With how good a Looney was on the boards and just how he is, period. The main thing I would go for that is like Sacramento doesn't have a huge boards guy. You know what I'm saying? Like Sabonis is a good rebounder, but he's not an elite rebounder. And also like Sabonis is 6'9", 6'10", and he doesn't have a long wingspan. So, and he's more of a finesse type guy, while Looney has developed into more of a long power guy. So that's kind of my thing. I'm not overly concerned on him like just eating up boards like crazy.
I mean, he had three 20 rebound games in a series, so it's a big point of contention.
No, for sure. Like I could see him getting a game like that. Yes. You know, or
Tillman did two. That one or two times in the series against the Lakers as well. But I feel like it's just Looney, and the Grizzlies have Tillman and they have Jaren, and they have bigger guys like you know, a Bane who's more power based, and Jaw is just an incredible athlete. Mm-hmm. People like that are just able to get boards easier. And yeah. Like I said, outside of Looney, they don't really have the athletes to rebound like that. Like maybe a Wiggins, who I think has had a couple of 10 plus rebounds games in that series as well. But as long as there's a body on him, like a Vanderbilt or something, or someone like that bodying a Wiggins, I don't need to worry too much about Wiggins on the offensive glass, at least. So,
yeah, you can't leak out, right? Like against the Warriors, like you got a gang rebound. And so, yeah. You know, Sabonis got a lot of hell for the Looney matchup as deserved. But I also think it's tough. Like if you're stepping out on every screen, right, and then you have to go and find Looney to box out, like that's a lot of work for like a big man. And so then they have small guards, right? Like Fox, Monk, like those are guards that can't really
Mitchell as well. Mitchell's tiny. Yeah. Exactly.
And so you need to like sandwich rebound a lot against Kevon Looney. Like you need to have two guys kind of attacking the board on him. And that's tough to do with all the ball screen action that they do. And that's how Wiggins flies in for like tip dunks and stuff like that. But yeah, it's going to be on AD. It's going to be on Vanderbilt. It's going to be on LeBron, honestly. And I think in another series where his defense might be just as important as his offense, like his effort on the boards, the glass, that might be just as big as his offensive contribution in this series. Yeah. Because if he's not aggressive and doing his part there, it's going to be tough to kind of keep them. And you can't give the Warriors second chances. Like you just can't. You can't give Steph and Klay two looks at the same basket.
They had 14 offensive rebounds in the third quarter against the Kings today. Yeah. So yeah, they essentially took that game over because of those offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
Looney had, I want to say, three possessions where he had two or more rebounds on it. Two or more offensive rebounds on it. So
the one thing that bodes well is I don't remember Looney ever having a game like that this season against them, where he absolutely just manhandles us the way that he did Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
I think. And also, like, one thing I want to point out about this series is the only guard that we played at sort of under 6'5 is Dennis. Sure. Mm-hmm. But then again, because of his wingspan, he's more like a 6'3 guy, right? Which is basically like essentially what Malik Monk and the Aaron Fox are anyway. So, like, but we only have one of those guys. They had three of them and they had to play him like huge minutes. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge factor. I find it really interesting because essentially whatever Golden State had to do against Sacramento, they can try to do that against the Lakers, but I don't think it will work very effectively.
Now, the Kings weren't even – they were a bottom third of the league offensive team coming into the playoffs as well.
Yeah.
They stepped up a little bit definitely in the playoffs, but that felt more so like De'Aaron for like a few possessions was like locking up Steph for a little bit. And when you look at their backcourt just in general, like Monk, not a defender, as good as he was offensively, not a defender. Kevin Herter was really bad in this series. Terrence Davis is super off and on. He didn't play like a lot. Davion Mitchell, he's a bulldog, but you know, smaller guy, kind of like a Dennis. And then De'Aaron, you don't want him defending at a high level like that because he's such a huge part of that offense. So I think with the Lakers, especially having bigger guys and guys who don't need to like be like full pull of the offense as much, like a Dennis or, you know, putting Bando on them. I think Reeves can for a little bit as well because he is pretty good at chasing people around the screens just in general. And they're guys who don't need to like a Fox who is scoring 30 plus a game. So I think it'll be, and add that on top of the fact where you can have an Anthony Davis help off of a Draymond Green or something like that. So it'll certainly be a lot tougher for the Warriors to score on the Lakers, but I also think, I mean, it could be on the flip side, it could make the Lakers a little worse offensively because they are chasing around Steph and Klay a ton. So
the one thing I do want to say is Tuesday is a perfect steal game for the Lakers.
Yeah, you need that game. Being off 4 days,
yeah.
Warriors only get one day rest.
You cannot have a feel out game in game one.
Somehow the Lakers are 5-point underdogs in that game.
Yeah. If you I don't know.
I would take that. But yeah.
You cannot have your typical fill out game. You cannot have a game two against the Grizzlies this series. There's no, despite like how we're saying, you know, obviously like the Lakers should match up really well with with the Warriors compared to Sacramento. There's not a game in this series that you can take off. You cannot have a game two. You cannot have a game five. Cannot have those duds. You have to be on top of your game. You know, like if it's just poor shooting, you know, like you can't help that some nights, you know. But like some of the feel out, laissez-faire type nonsense that goes on with those feel out games is just, yeah, you can't have that. You cannot have that this series. And I would hope that obviously the vets would know that, you know, LeBron and AD especially, that you should not and cannot have those times. So
yeah, LeBron needs to set a tone defensively, I feel. Like like he everywhere, but like a possession, two possessions early in the game to show the other guys like let's go, sort of.
I was just gonna say he has to find that Dylan Brooks moment of like, I'm pissed off, let me go at him.
But I think he's constantly like that with Golden State just because of the history.
That's what my hope is. But again, I constantly worry about feel out games with
the thing LeBron. Is though with LeBron, when he doesn't respect a team, he has feel out games with them. Like even when he was like younger. Even when he was younger, he used to have feel out games. Like you remember when like those shitty Pistons teams and stuff would win one against the Cavs and stuff, and it's like because LeBron didn't take him seriously as a threat. Whenever he did take him seriously,
the Bucks for Brandon Jennings, where he said Bucks in six. Remember that?
Yeah. But then whenever he does take someone seriously, I mean, obviously Mavs notwithstanding when they beat him in 2011, right? He never used to have feel out games. So I feel like it all depends on LeBron's respect level for the team. And I think LeBron really respects this Warriors team. We know what he feels about Draymond. We know what he feels about Steph, how much he respects these guys. He knows. And I think that helps. I think if it was against the Kings, I'd be a lot more worried about game one being a feel out game.
With all the rumors about like, oh, the Lakers want the Kings from way back a few months ago, or like after the trade, they're like, they want to get to six because they want the Kings essentially. That was the whole thing about that. So yeah, I would have been a little worried about that first game in Sacramento, you know, old rivalry renewed. That would have been a super like, but they might have gotten blown out in that game. Like that, I could have seen happening, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. No, you gotta get game one on Tuesday. That's just, to me, that's a must.
Yeah.
Must win. You're not going to get any more rest advantage than that. Every game after this is one day off only. So you had 4 days off. That's why you finished your series early. Sacramento and the Warriors just played a grueling seven games. I mean, that wasn't just a regular seven-game series. That series was tight. Pretty much every game except for the last one. So, hopefully their legs are dead and you can capitalize in a tough road arena on Tuesday.
Definitely. All right. Did we need to talk about getting AD going against Dray and Looney? We kind of already.
Yeah, we touched on that already.
I feel like we touched on it on the in the flow of the conversation.
Yeah. Also, yeah. I kind of feel that way with Austin and D'Lo creating offense as well. So, let's go ahead and go Ham versus Kerr. That one's going to be interesting. Kerr is the better coach.
Oh yeah, it's
definitely.
As he should be. Been in the league, a lot longer.
Head coach. I did not initially give Steve Kerr his flowers, right? I'm talking about his early years in the league. Yeah, so I'm like, he has a phenomenal team. The way he has his teams consistently play, the way they play basketball. But now we're talking what he's been there like 8-9 years, right? And they do not miss a beat the way they play basketball. I know they had that off year where Steph was hurt and everyone was hurt, and you know, the year after KD, and they got the top three pick where
they should have put them below. They've won, they're 19-0 in their last 19 series against Western Conference. They have not, which they've won insane. 19 that's straight absurd. Series against the West. So, I mean, dynastic that's hats off to him. That's six in a third straight playoffs.
I don't think Phil or the Popovich do that.
Popovich was very off and on. Like whenever they'd be like every other year, they'd be in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. So like that, just to have that consistency and the way they play basketball and how beautiful it is, he is a hell of a coach. Like, the way that people talk about Doc Rivers is the way that people should be talking about Steve Kerr. I don't think Steve Kerr gets enough. I know people, you know, do talk about Steve Kerr as being a good coach, but not on the national media. Like, you know what I mean? It's weird. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't get the credit he deserves.
It's because of the talent that's consistently on the Warriors, but no one ever said that about Phil Jackson, you know?
No.
Jackson's had some of the greatest players to ever play basketball on his team.
Exactly. And, but all his championship winning teams were led by either Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. Like,
yep.
We're talking about two of the best, like, seven players who have ever played a game. And then you include Shaq in there, who's also a top 10 player of all time. Yeah. Scottie Pippen, who's like a top 30 or 40 player of all time.
Yeah.
Paul, who's the top 40 player of all time. Like, we're talking like insane levels of talent on that team and teams. So I really, really, really want to give Steve Kerr his flowers. Yeah. That being said, however, I think Darvin Ham has got the makings of being a really good coach in the NBA. And I think that as long as he doesn't get in his way, which Darvin Ham has done this season, he's got in his way a lot. And again, to be expected, he's a rookie. It's the first time like steering the ship himself. It's going to happen. He's going to make mistakes, right? But what I do want to say is he has, and this is what we were talking about, like where he fits in slightly differently to Mike Budenholzer and Taylor Jenkins. Like, Mike Budenholzer would have been stubborn to the point where he would have played both Troy Brown and Malik Beasley just constantly. Like, we saw it in Miami, right? Like, in that, when Miami beat him in game 5, just put Giannis on fucking Jimmy Butler.
Just like, put Brooke at the rim. You're doing in.
Rocket science, right? Like, but Mike Budenholzer was so stuck in his ways about doing it. And don't get me wrong, I think doing predetermined stuff pre-game, I did it a lot. I think it's the way to go. But if you don't have a feel for how the game's going, I think that really limits your ceiling as a coach. And I think Budenholzer has that a lot. I think Jenkins has that somewhat, especially guys like Brooks and stuff. Interestingly, he doesn't have that longer leash for people who haven't been in Memphis as long. So I feel like maybe getting Brooks out of that situation would be good for Memphis. I mean, it would be in general, but like just even better for him in the long run, because Taylor Jenkins wouldn't give him that longer leash, right? I think Darvin has shown, like, when it's winning time, I don't have to play Troy. I don't have to play Malik. It's all good, right? I'll just go with my strongest 8 guys. As long as he doesn't get in his way that much in this series, I think that the coaching battle won't be as pronounced. If he tries to get in his way and tries to like galaxy brain it at times, I think that's where we'll see the coaching of Golden State really come into its ground.
Yeah, the Warriors are a team where you really have to time like how to end runs. Like, they're a team that will run off 15 straight points on you if you're not careful. But to me, this series, I mean, Ham versus Kerr obviously is the front match there, but I think like the non-AD minutes versus their second unit, that's like where this series is won to me. How long can you rest him? How long can you know, who can you put in there? We talked about Wayne and Gabriel. The Warriors might be a team where you can go back and like play with the Rui and LeBron 4 or 5, because they don't have a real backup center, and even their centers aren't rim threats, right? They're not lob threats, and they're not really
especially scoring. If Dre's at 5 there as well,
right? And they're not post-up threats, right? The issue with the 4-5 was that Jaren Jackson Jr. was a post-up offense threat, right? And that kind of killed your defense. But the Warriors don't really have that. Draymond doesn't score on post-ups. Kevon Looney, they don't run a single play for him. Everything is off of offensive rebounds and stuff, so that's where it's going to be. And then everything else is, you know, this is where you learn. I mean, this is where learning kind of gets accelerated in the playoffs, so we'll see how Darvin does. But I thought his first round was pretty good, other than just a couple sub patterns with Troy Brown and Malik.
Game five was the big one on that.
Yeah, and that looked like a game that honestly organizationally they punted. Like, if you look at the way they came out, LeBron obviously was not engaged
anymore. Game six winning. Yeah.
Right, his physicality level was not up to par to like match what Memphis was about to bring, but I think this series is a do or die, and no one's played the Warriors more than LeBron. No one knows their stuff. No one knows their schemes. No one has guarded Steph on pick and rolls more. No one has, you know, tagged Draymond on his rolls more than LeBron James. So hopefully, you know, there's some institutional knowledge that he can share with, you know, Darvin and the staff. And I'm sure they are watching a shit ton of tape for two games.
Mm-hmm. It was part of it. And I know that KD and Clay got hurt in that series where Toronto beat the Warriors. But Toronto were holding their own in that series, even with those guys. Like, I really, really think that, I'm not saying that they would have won. I think the Warriors still would have won, right? But I think Phil Handy being part of that coaching staff as well is a huge deal. I really, really do, especially in this series, because I know Phil gets his flowers for being a player development guy, and he absolutely deserves it, right? But you wouldn't be an assistant coach in the NBA for so long, especially a front bench assistant coach in the NBA for so long, if you weren't good as a X's and O's guy on top of that as well. I know Phil's bread and butter is his player development side, but I also don't think he gets enough credit at times, because let's be real, you don't last in the NBA that long if your X's and O's aren't good, unless you know you beer pong buddies with the head coach. So you know, so that's the way I look at it.
I concur. All right, let's go ahead and finish off with the bench. I think it's going to be more pivotal for the Lakers personally, because the main bench piece you could say for, or two you could say for the Warriors are Jordan Poole and Dante DiVincenzo.
Gary.
So, Gary. I keep forgetting that he was traded there. Jordan Poole, I'm a hater. I will say it. Never, like, he was phenomenal last year. He has not been that great this year. He could get hot for sure. I'm a hater. You could say Gary Payton is a phenomenal defender, but he's not really going to put up a ton of points. And then, as we said, like, the back is an issue. I also think that was part of the reason why he got three fouls early in Sacramento. He doesn't quite look the same to me personally.
He was an offseason away.
Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. And then Dante is pretty good, you know, overall. Kuminga, I don't think you can play him at all this series. You could throw him out there for
Moody's
fouls,
the young guy that played.
Yeah, which is hysterical. They flipped, because Moody earlier in the year, and especially last year, was not playing a lot, was in the G League a lot, etc. Jamichael Green, I don't even know if he plays anymore. Ryan Hollins isn't going to play. Patrick Baldwin Jr. isn't going to play.
No.
Ty Jerome isn't going to play.
No.
Neither is Lester. I'm going to guess this Quiñones is, I'm guessing, a two-way guy. And then Anthony Lamb isn't going to play as well. Iguodala is washed. That's what I'm saying. He's just washed. So they've got, you know, three guys for that eight man rotation. That leaves the front court really light.
Mm-hmm.
When all you have is Looney and Draymond. I mean, of anyone that could, you know, play that, like, Moody could play up to a four. Kuminga could play 4-5 some minutes. You know, Jermichael, you might see him play this series just for, again, fouling purposes.
The Lakers go small, you could go like a Wiggins at the 5. Like realistically, you could.
Yeah,
but, like, definitely. But yeah, but that's exactly your point. Like, why Andrew Wiggins playing at the 5 is a win for the Lakers, I feel.
Yeah. This is when a series – for sure that LeBron and AD have to be on the floor at all times, or one of them on at the floor at all times. D'Lo needs to be in there.
It should be one of LeBron or AD and one of D'Lo and Austin.
That's what I was just exactly going to say. Yeah. You cannot go an all bench unit, or like a unit LeBron where the like the only starter is like Vando, you know. Like, I love Vando, but he's not going to do that much for you.
Ideally, he's your fifth best player on the court.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, when it then it comes to rest of the Lakers bench, you know, Rui. I mean, other than Dre and Clay, you're not really going to be able to defend him. I don't think Looney can quite close out on him quick enough.
And I think Wiggins is strong enough to guard him.
Yeah, and like, and
Rui can rise over Clay as well.
Yeah, and so like, they have guys, but then like when you just continue to be able to throw guys,
but then are you going to put? Because whenever Rui plays, he's going to be on the court with at least one of AD or Brum, right? Mm-hmm. If they put Draymond on Rui, that's just a win for the Lakers, because that means that someone else, Draymond Green, is guarding Anthony Davis, and ditto with LeBron James, right? Because you'd think that Draymond would then, and that's the thing with the Warriors, like, it sort of feels like Draymond covers up a lot of their cracks, and he can't play 48 minutes. Which then comes back to the fact that what you're saying, Clay, where one of LeBron already needs to be on the court at all times and one of Reeves or D'Lo needs to be on the court at all times.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, like, the Lakers can start throwing out other guys if need be, you know? Like, Lonnie can go and get a few quick points, you know? Like, if necessary. Malik could have a game if Darvin finally finds that game. Troy Brown would be a guy that would be interesting. You know, that's more of like when you start needing the fouls or just like the body or something like that.
If Rui gets like three quick fouls in the first half or something. Yeah.
Exactly. But like Rui and Jordan Poole are obviously very different players, but I think to the level of being able to score and score quickly, I think that like they are on the same-ish level, especially this year. Like last year, I would have said no, but like this year, you know, they're kind of especially on that same level.
Off the bench.
Yeah,
especially Poole off the bench. Some players just play better as starters. Some players just play better as bench players. Poole is one of those guys who I absolutely unequivocally believe plays better as a starter.
Definitely, you know, Schroeder's going to have his minutes, etc. You know, so like I think the Lakers personally have a better bench. Especially like if you have to go deep and you're just now at that point, just trying to physically exhaust the Warriors, you know, with guys that can play compared to, I mean, are the Warriors really going to throw Anthony Lamb out there in a playoff series?
No.
It'll be Jermichael Green, I think, before it's Anthony Lamb.
Exactly.
And Jermichael's been terrible for him this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jermichael's like 35. So, I mean, like, you know,
he's not playable. I don't think this is a defensive series. Like, you know, you mentioned Lonnie Walker,
not Beasley. A great defender. No.
Yeah. Lonnie Beasley. I think they're just not playable in this series. And so Steph played over 40 minutes three times already in this series. The other one was 38 tonight in a game that was out of hand by the fourth quarter, 36 in game five. Again, out of hand, by
physically exhausted.
Exactly. So my point here is, though, I don't think there's going to be a lot of non-Steph minutes. Like, I'm wondering, like, how many non-AD minutes, and that's the clash of the benches. I think we're going to see a really short rotation. First round, usually coaches delve into their bench a little bit more. But, second round, this is the Western Conference Finals. Like, I know we're not there yet, but to me, this is a conference finals type of series. It's not your
normal. Whoever wins this goes to the finals, like, listen –
this is not your average second round series where you can play around or, you know, put lineups in that are so destructive and, you know, can take you out of a whole game. This is like, okay, you got to be really strategic. I like the Rui, LeBron, AD lineups. If Dennis doesn't have it going quickly, you know, put him out. Austin Reeves up in 30 minutes. D'Lo should be in the 30-minute range. And then, that's the battle. But chasing Steph around. One good thing, though, is they're not a huge rim pressure team. They got to the rim against Sacramento, but that's not really what they do. And Jordan Poole, you talked about it, Alan. He's been struggling as hell. You want to keep him off. I think Dennis is the perfect guy to put on him, force him into offensive fouls, force him into –
Dennis will get into his head as well.
I mean, Reeves as well, especially when you go to offensive fouls. Reeves can definitely
– right.
Embellish Jordan, a couple fouls.
Jordan Poole beats himself like a lot. Like, you know what I mean? Like a lot of times it's really just, it's not even respective to what the defense is doing. Jordan Poole would just take step back contested threes, or he'll have wild attacks to the rim for no reason. A lot of stuff like that. where you can kind of play into that. So that's their bench.
Part of the problem is just because Jordan Poole thinks that he's Steph.
Well, and just kind of make one point very quickly.
That's how he was paid. He was paid to be that.
Yeah, he was. And Dennis had a really tough time in the Memphis series, and I think the Grizzlies were essentially set up really well to guard Dennis. I think personally, I don't think the Golden State set up that way. And we've seen it in the regular season as well. Dennis has had some of his best games against the Warriors this year. And I think that aspect, because we didn't really have Dennis contribute. Like, if someone can pull it up very quickly, I don't think he got... Did he get into double figures at any stage in the Memphis? I don't think... Or if he did, he barely got over it. Like, it might be like 10, 11 points.
Yeah, 12 and... Game four.
So I feel like with that, I feel like it'll be a lot easier for Dennis to score as well, because, you know, he's not going up against Jaren Jackson at the rim, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that aspect of the Lakers offense, especially when we talk about bench versus bench, that's huge as well, because if you get Dennis going alongside the other main guys, I don't see how you can stop the Lakers. I know you talk about D'Lo, Raj, but if D'Lo's like got like 17, 18, but then Dennis has got 15 off the bench, I think that's huge. I really, really do for the Lakers.
And we've definitely seen those stretches with Dennis where he can put up like 8 like really fast. That's with attacking the rim, getting fouls drawn. He definitely had moments like that where he's done that. I want to make one last point before we finish off and do predictions or whatever, but Lakers are the best rebounding team in the league. The Lakers are also they also draw the most free throws in the league. This is like the moment where it'll be really crucial to get a Looney or Draymond in the foul trouble, because like we've said, they don't have front court depth. So if one of those, I think Looney, more importantly, I know Draymond's Draymond, but Looney really drives that team sometimes with those offensive rebounds. If Looney gets in the foul trouble and Dre's your five, I think it could really run down Dre, first of all, just for a series. And it could also, you know, you're playing Andrew Wiggins at the four now. You're playing Moses Moody or Jonathan Kuminga at the four now. So they're a lot smaller against a team in the Lakers who have 3'6", 8", or taller guys in their front court. So I think really attacking them at the rim, drawing fouls, is going to be a really crucial part of the game plan, especially for guys like LeBron, AD, Austin Reeves, Dennis Schroeder, people like that.
Schroeder, dating back to his OKC days against the Warriors, according to StatMuse, is averaging 16.5 points, 3.2 rebounds, 5.3 assists, and 1.2 steals on 47% shooting from the field, 32.5 from three, and almost 4.6 free throws at 89.1%, and is averaging a plus seven. So, like,
how many games is that?
10. That's the last 10. Now he's had a couple stinkers in there, but like, that's overall, like, he plays really well against them.
He gets up for Steph. It seems like there's been a couple times where he's gotten up for Steph.
He gets up for like these marquee point guard matchups.
Yeah. I also went back and looked at D'Lo against them, and pretty solid. He's had a couple stinkers, especially like there was one with the Warriors, but I couldn't look up, or I looked up that game. It was a blowout by Minnesota off the bat. So, I mean, I think they were up by like 20 at the end of the first quarter. So, and any stat on there is going to look bad. So, but our point guards tend to play really well against the Warriors.
And Austin Reeves is him, so you don't have to worry about
Austin. And Austin Reeves.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, predictions, just to end it.
Yep. I want to hear Raj first. He is by far the most nervous, and it's a valid thing. I am not trying to say like you shouldn't be nervous at all. I am going to guess that you say Lakers in seven. That's what I'm going to
guess. Yeah, that's what I'm pushing. Lakers in six, Lakers in seven. But I think it's gonna just be a miserable experience.
It's gonna be so toxic.
It's gonna be awful. I will not be on Twitter that entire series, except in the DMs.
Thank God it's the evening or slash morning for me.
God. I mean, the Warriors have been on national TV a shit ton, right? These past few years. Watching teams defend them and like do everything right defensively. You know what I mean? Like you're not winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you conceptualize in your head, like, okay, like if I do the right thing enough times, I should win. Like that should be what the logical outcome is. But the Warriors break all those rules, right? Steph Curry tonight, go watch that first quarter. Sacramento played perfect defense and he just pulls a 35 footer over Terrence Davis. Like right when he crosses half court, it's like, dude, what the hell do you do with that? And that's the type of stuff that's like miserable as hell to watch. But I think like the Lakers overall are the better. Like I think we're playing better basketball than them. I think we're the better team. We have the inside, you know, I think matchup that favors them. But Steph and Klay's shooting just breaks rules. Like it just does, and that's what that's my worry here. I would still pick the Lakers in seven. You have to win a road game, seven in Golden State. That, you know, LeBron's done that before, but that's where I'm at. But it makes me feel better though that you guys are a lot more optimistic about this and have a lot more I'm the one that's supposed to be optimist here, but you guys are, you know, actually helping me. I thought, you know, we could beat Memphis. I thought we would, you know, take over on them. Golden State is that's a tough one, man, to watch. But yeah, Lakers in seven for me. How about you guys?
Alan?
My heart says Lakers in five.
Oh my god.
Keep it up because I have Lakers in six just like the last time.
You know what? Hell with it. Lakers in five.
Oh my goodness.
And again, so my real prediction is Lakers in six, but I'm gonna go uber confident. I don't think they have an answer for Anthony Davis. And I think that part is so pivotal, is that Jaren Jackson, at least at some points, could equal AD's production in spells. Or like they could go the completely other way where they just play Jaren Jackson, like you said, in lineups where AD doesn't play and he can just dominate. They don't have a big like that, Golden State. I'm worried about Steph, like as much as you are, Rash. I agree with you. He terrifies the hell out of me. You can't really scheme for him. It's like, yeah, let's hope we make the shot as difficult as possible. Let's hope he misses like nine threes. But yeah, just because I'm going to be super, super confident, thanks for bullying me into this, Clay. I'm going to go Lakers in five.
Merge?
Yeah, Lakers in six. I had Lakers in six last series as well. Just knowing this team, they tend to take a game off. Even I don't want them to, but I just know they
especially
do.
Especially in game one, they will post game two in Golden State.
Yeah, and they're very confident at home, the Lakers. I don't know what the record has been since the deadline at home.
The Lakers or Golden State?
The Lakers
overall have been 20-9 since the trade deadline, including playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell you exactly at home.
One loss for sure at home. The Dallas one. Dallas and Minnesota, I remember losing at home.
And Chicago.
Chicago, right. That's three.
Because the game after AD came out and just destroyed them in Chicago.
Right. But the Lakers seem to really get up for those home games. Like all three of the home games so far, they've absolutely
demolished. Can we have Jack Nicholson turn up, please?
Oh, I know. And have Kyrie turn up so D'Lo can drop 30 again.
Yes, please.
Oh, man.
But yeah,
I'll pay for Kyrie.
I forgot to talk about that. Oh, man. That was absolutely fantastic. Just, no, dog. Get away from me.
I feel the trajectory. It's a similar trajectory to last series. Lakers win the first one. They lose game two. They win two at home. They lose game five on the road. And they win game six at home. So I'm going Lakers in six. If the Warriors do win, I do think they win in six, though.
If they win what? The first game?
If the Warriors win the series, I'm saying the Warriors will win in six, I feel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the trade deadline was between February 15th and February 23rd, right?
Don't count the Bucks game because we had nobody.
No, for sure. I'm trying to get a handle on it.
The very first one was the Warriors on the road.
Yeah. So at home, the Lakers have lost one against Minnesota, one against the Knicks, and one against Dallas and the Bulls. So five. And they lost. So then I would guess 1, 2, 3, 4 on the road. Four on the road. Technically, one is the Clippers, and it's the Lakers for some reason just always don't do great against them.
Which by the way, really here's the year Russell Westbrook. You're trash. Wanted to say that.
But he got it. He had a good series numbers
People calling ESPN, you know, not very nice of posting his photo. He was the only healthy player who played. Whose photo are they going to post? Like Paul George in street clothes? Like,
that's
reasonable.
They should. They should play. They should
post. They're not going to post Nathan Plumlee. No one cares.
Yeah, no, for sure. So then four on the road, and then two in this series. So. I think I said Lakers in six and I stand by that. My thing is if there is a feel out game in game one, it goes seven. And then I am super nervous. Really? You cannot.
Why would you put that into the ether? Why would you do
this? We put it into the ether in the Grizzlies series too. So don't worry about it.
I always talk about it because it is something that people, like, they just overlook it a lot, and I don't understand how they do, because, like, again, I go back to that damn Phoenix Suns series, you know? Like, they should never have lost that series if they didn't have that game one feel-out game.
Basketball gods, if you are listening right now, please strike whatever Clay said against the record and not pay attention to it.
Thanks. Hey, if you're praying to the basketball god, that for a sweep.
Yeah, right.
I'm being reasonable. Lakers and five.
Yeah, that's for realistic reasonable options.
You're being reasonable.
I'm going to go six.
There is a world where the Lakers win in five, purely because you get the Warriors in foul trouble. No one can guard AD, and he completely sucks the life out of them.
Yeah,
there's technically a world where the Lakers sweep. So
I need the defense as good as
I respect Steph too much for that. Yeah. I give Steph at least one game.
Yeah,
one game. Oh my goodness,
at least one game. At least one game. He could give us.
For a guy who dropped 50 today.
The
Lakers are 5-point underdogs, and they just curb stomp the Memphis Grizzlies.
I know. The thing is, it won't be a very Lakers podcast and say, oh no, the Warriors are gonna win in seven. Come on, guys.
If it goes seven, I worry.
It would be
about
the Warriors.
That.
Like, if you want me to be honest, I do not want this series going seven.
I didn't want the Grizzlies to go to seven either. I thought they'd lose that game 100%.
It needs six. If you want to win this series, I think it needs to go six.
Just still game one.
You need to end it in LA. Period.
I mean, the beauty of ending, but the ironic thing is the Lakers play really well in Chase Center.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny? Steph has a not so great history at shooting at Staples/Crypto.
I feel like all going to go away. I have a feeling
I just remember when the Lakers sucked, Steph always
nice shot reverse like two jinx, Raj, I see what you're doing there. I see what you're doing there.
I just have a feeling.
He's got a full Skip Bayless run. Did I see that? Skip Bayless said that the Lakers were going to beat the Warriors on Twitter. So he's trying to pull a reverse Skip Bayless at this point.
Bravo. That's the Bravo.
And the Lakers beat the Charles Barkley allegations. Charles Barkley.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So that they were going to win against the Grizzlies. So
I cannot believe we did that.
Charles Barkley allegation. That's the biggest piece in the world. He picked the, he said that the, I think he said the Warriors were going to the finals. So, yeah.
He did say that.
I worry. So, like, the Lakers went 1-3 against the Warriors this year. But
they did?
They agree. I thought
they beat them twice. At least twice.
Oh, my bad. My bad. My bad. My bad. My bad. I was reading it the wrong way. I looked up Lakers versus Warriors, and for some reason, it popped up Golden State ahead of them. For when I looked on
the Stat only time news. They beat us was that opening night,
yeah.
Right?
When, yeah, was, yeah, 10-18.
They steamrolled those.
Then the Lakers beat them before the deadline, after the deadline, shortly after the deadline, and then back in March. And pretty well on that. And you know, like you could say, like Wiggins wasn't there for a good stretch of that, and
I'm whatnot, pretty sure Steph, but that was his first game back in that right. last game.
So I mean, I mean,
we also had Westbrook for two of those games. So
LeBron played that last Warriors game as well. So
yeah,
right. And we won that one.
And
there's so many different variables of yeah. people who did and didn't play.
The third game was shortly after the deadline. So or was right road. After the deadline. So like, and they still beat the Warriors. So and again, like it's a whole new series. Anything can happen, but that's kind of why I'm a little bit more confident than I think I normally would be. So, yeah. All right. Any final thoughts, Merge? No.
No, it's just hard to bet against LeBron James in a playoff series. That's all I'm gonna say. I know it's hard to bet against Steph Curry as well, but LeBron has a lot of the bigger track record.
Got me sounding like a Warriors fan on here, trying to you know.
It's because you are one now.
Warrior Raj, Clipper Raj, Celtic Raj.
God.
Oh.
What are you gonna do if there's a Lakers Celtic?
Final? Oh my God.
You're gonna be so conflicted. Oh my God.
And then Alan, did you have any final thoughts?
No, not for on camera thoughts. Fantastic. But yeah.
Word. I don't have anything. I wanna leave Raj any amount of time that he wants to say anything, or if he's just good, just
plug your shit, Raj.
Huh? Oh, good. All fun. This was fun. Hopefully, you know, if they win in five, we'll be back right here. We can go live after the game like this. if they win in five, my God, just win. I'd be happy. Seven games, 10 overtimes. I don't care. It's just
doesn't matter.
Eat the word. It does not matter. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong though. I hope I'm wrong. I think this is gonna be a miserable, back and forth. Bloody!
We're all gonna lose years off our lives in this series.
I will not be on Twitter, so I will have less of that than you guys.
Oh, Alan! By the way, Clayton beat the jinx allegations. You watched all game six.
I did. Told you. Watch the games, man. Watch the games. Enjoy.
I did. So, all right. Fantastic. I did. Fantastic. We went way longer than we intended.
Hey, two long ass things to talk about.
Yeah, I think we might have to split this into two, to be honest. But
yeah, I'll see how long it is. But yeah,
it's probably close to 2 hours at least. It's probably closer to 2.5. So, all right. I think that'll wrap it up. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully, Merge makes this into two episodes, so then it's not too crazy. And that's it. Thank you all very much. Have a great one, and go Lakers.
Peace.
Peace.